It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at an effort to bring together Milwaukee communities with urban agriculture.
First, we're checking in on the latest news from the Joint Finance Committee. The committee is trying to finish its work on Governor Scott Walker's budget by the end of the month. Yesterday, they voted on public education funding, drug testing for recipients of some state benefits, and more.
Here to give us an overview of what the Joint Finance Committee accomplished so far this week is Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol reporter. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, last time I talked to you, I asked if you thought they'd have any late night sessions of Joint Finance. You said yes, and lo and behold, how late did they go last night?
They finished up at 1:27 a.m., so finished up the big education motion about that time. And I think yesterday was probably noteworthy for the amount of time they actually spent in their chairs discussing this stuff. Usually when they stay late, they're kind of having a lot of closed-door meetings, and there's not a lot of actual committee meeting happening, but they were there a lot yesterday.
And they did a lot. And before we get into the specifics, as I understand, mostly or even completely party-line votes, Republicans yes, Democrats no?
Almost completely on every issue, yeah. I don't think I've seen any issue this year that Republicans have splintered. So every now and then you'll get a couple Democrats that'll join Republicans on a motion, but you haven't seen Republicans split up and, you know, have the 12 GOP members of the committee vote different ways. They've been in lockstep this year.
Let's get into some details here. Joint Finance voted to increase spending on public schools. Governor Walker originally proposed cutting public school funding. So how did this deal get reached?
Yeah, what they did is the governor proposed cutting public schools in the first year of the budget by about $127 million. And what Joint Finance did last night is they filled that cut. And then they spent about another $70 million on top of that. So you're looking at they essentially increased school spending by $70 million once they filled the governor's cut. How they did that, the bulk of it is they delayed a payment, an extra payment to the school levy tax credit until the next budget. So that's something the state doesn't have to worry about right now. To kind of oversimplify this, that tax credit is there to lower property taxes. What they did won't affect property taxes. It will affect the way that ratings agencies like Standard & Poor's look at the state's budget. They'll say that, you know, the gap deficit went up. But as far as schools are concerned, you know, they'll get that money when they need it. It'll just technically appear in a different fiscal year than the one in which they use it.
Now, that was the big headline when it came to education, but there was a lot more going on with education, too. Part of that school funding plan is affected by and affects voucher schools as well. What happened there?
Yeah, they made some huge changes with voucher schools, and I think, actually, if you look at the way that they funded vouchers this time around, it eats into any increase that the public schools got. So what they did is they modeled the expansion of vouchers going forward along the lines of the way that the state pays for open enrollment. So there is a $48 million increase to vouchers in this budget that is completely offset by a $48 million decrease to public schools. So, you know, that's a significant number, obviously. And, you know, I think it sets the states up for going forward. That's how vouchers are going to go, is that as they expand, the funding that flows to voucher schools will come directly from the local schools that are losing these students.
Talking to WPR's Sean Johnson about the latest from the Joint Finance Committee as they go through the governor's budget. A little outside of education funding here, Sean, JFC, their plan calls for different education guidelines and school ratings than the governor had proposed. So what's different there?
Yeah, there's a lot of education policy they stuck in there that is not essential to balancing the budget or finding funding for public schools or finding funding for private voucher schools, that matter. One of the things that they did go along with partially, go along with the governor on, is this school accountability report, that something they haven't been able to agree upon in the legislature. In fact, some of the rank and file lawmakers that were working on it very recently declared the issue dead. Not so much, though, because they were able to, at least the members of the Joint Finance Committee, or the 12 Republicans there, were able to agree to an accountability system that would not punish poor performing schools. So, you know, that was one of the big issues between the Assembly and the Senate on this. It would create a new rating system for schools, though. It's not a letter grade system that a lot of school advocates had said would be a bad idea, and could kind of give the wrong idea about schools. It's close, though. You've got a star rating system now for schools in this budget. They'd be rated on a scale of 1 through 5 stars to denote how they're performing on new school tests.
Now, stepping away from schools now, drug testing for food share recipients, I understand, was on the table yesterday, proposal from the governor. Republican lawmakers have talked about this. How did that end up getting resolved?
Yeah, not just drug testing for food share recipients. The governor's budget pretty much covered the gamut. There was a food share recipients. He would drug test for Badger Care recipients, not all recipients, so parents wouldn't be tested. But if you're an adult without kids on Badger Care Plus and you're a so-called able-bodied adult, they would drug test you. Unemployment insurance recipients would be drug tested. People who receive W-2, which is Wisconsin's replacement for traditional welfare. I mean, it's the program that came about during Tommy Thompson's welfare changes in the 90s. Recipients of W-2 would be drug tested. So a very sweeping proposal there by the Joint Finance Committee. And at least for some of it, they would not require the state to get a federal waiver. So the thinking was with a lot of these is, okay, they're going to ask the state to get permission from the federal government. The federal government will say no, and these changes will never happen. Well, if they don't ask the federal government for permission and they go ahead with it, that sets up a different scenario. It's likely going to prompt a court challenge, and these changes could end up getting blocked that way. A federal judge could potentially step in and say, you can't do this under the U.S. Constitution.
So that's interesting. Instead of trying to get that permission that wasn't expected, they're maybe paving the way to a big legal battle over this.
Yeah, and you know, politically, even if they lose, they could paint it as a win. I mean, they could say that judge blocked this reform is probably how they'd frame it, and you know, that they wanted to do it, but the federal court system got in the way. I guess the other alternative is they win in court and that they're able to go ahead and do this, but this is something that Republicans have been able to keep all their members together on and seem happy to talk about.
Those are the highlights from yesterday. I understand Joint Finance is meeting again tomorrow before the holiday weekend. What's on the schedule? What are we going to be watching for?
Well, as of right now, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is still on the schedule. This is the agency known as WEDIC, the state's premier economic development agency. One of the first initiatives Governor Walker pushed for when he became governor in 2011. And this is an agency that has had all sorts of trouble recently with audits showing they're not following state law or their own policies when it comes to tracking awards. And Wisconsin State Journal story over the weekend showing that Walker's Department of Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch tried to steer a $4.3 million state loan to a then failing company that is now defunct, after that company gave Walker's campaign $10,000. So if WEDIC is up tomorrow, that's going to be a political football, and there's a lot of money involved too. They want $55 million. Initially they asked for $55 million to continue this loan program. The governor over the weekend said, I don't want that anymore. We're done with the loan program. So we'll see what happens there.
Sean, thanks as always for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR state government reporter, with us to talk about the Joint Finance Committee's latest votes on the governor's budget.